Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market report on WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. On your HD radio, and we welcome back Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning to you, Jay, and good Monday morning, everyone. Over the weekend, the Bush administration sent a proposal for an unprecedented $700 billion bailout to U.S. lawmakers to tackle the nation's worst financial disaster since the Great Depression. What are the implications for commodity traders on the opening bell today? We'll discuss that and more in just a few minutes with Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company from Indianapolis, Indiana. Midwest direct hog markets are called steady to 50 cents per hundredweight higher today as the market continues building a solid demand base. Terminals are called steady to possibly 50 cents higher in a light volume with tops from $45 to $47. Peoria is called steady to 50 cents higher with a top price of $45. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, September 19th, negotiated swine purchases were 16,446. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $60.25 to $71. The weighted average was $65.99. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $45.77 to $52.63. The weighted average $49.79. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $23,160. The base price range $58 to $72. The weighted average $68.79. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $47.03 to $60, the weighted average $53.34. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Keezer.
Good morning. Morgan and Goldman will be.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, there you go.
Am I here now?
You're okay. There. My first day back, and of course,
well,
I missed a button.
That happened to me last week when you were gone, too. That seems to be a new regular thing, wherever that voice comes from. We're hearing voices here. Anyway, hazy sunshine out on Friends Plaza right now. Some patches of fog this morning. We are in the fog season, at least in terms of radiation fog. That's the kind of fog that forms on a clear, relatively calm night, and the reason we get more of it at this time of year is humidity levels are still a bit up. Summer levels of humidity are at least close to it, while the nights are getting longer, allowing for more cooling, and as a result, we do have many mornings with the patches of fog, and of course, when there's fog out there, there's also a lot of dew, which leads to damp conditions early in the day. But the sun will be out the next several days, and that will dry things out. Now, over the weekend, some rain did fall in the Midwest Corn Belt, but most areas stayed dry. The areas that did get the rain over the weekend were southern sections. The most rain fell in parts of Missouri into southern Illinois, anywhere from a half an inch to 1 3/4 inches fell in some showers and thunderstorms with a disturbance over that area. And as you go a little farther north and east into east central Illinois and southwestern Indiana, some places picked up around 0.4 inches, maybe a couple places a little more, most places though less. But much of the rest of the Midwest was rather quiet over the weekend. Now, some other showers did develop far to the west from northern Nebraska through North Dakota. That's out in the mainly the plains hard red winter wheat belt, but some of the eastern parts of Nebraska and South Dakota, of course, corn and beans are grown. But basically, the corn and soybean areas outside of what I just mentioned had a dry weekend, and mostly dry weather is expected this week. Now, a cool front is going to approach from the northwest, and it's going to trigger some showers and thunderstorms, I think. And that will be to our northwest, the northwestern portions of the Midwest Corn Belt. So starting as early as tomorrow afternoon, there could be some showers in west central Wisconsin into south central and southeastern Minnesota and on into portions of north central into southwestern Iowa. And that area of rain will not be big in size, but there will be a nice line that will probably form And as it pushes slowly eastward, it will maybe dump some locally heavy rain over a small portion of the Midwest. Now, by the time we get to the morning on Wednesday, it does look like the showers will be from central Wisconsin into eastern Iowa and north central and northwestern Missouri. Now, that line of showers is with a weak cool front that's expected to fade out. So much of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, not expected to get rain from that. But parts of northern and west central Illinois could get a few showers once we go through the day Wednesday into Thursday. But by and large, it looks like dry weather this week. Now, as far as temperatures, they're going to be warm during the daytime, seasonably. Well, they're going to be cool, but not any cooler than what's seasonable at this. Basically, our average low temperatures in the Midwest Corn Belt are now dropping into the 40s north and low 50s south, and we should be warmer than that at night. And in the daytime, we should be several degrees above average. So that, along with the dry weather, actually is going to help crops along after some adverse weather in August with the dryness. And then with Ike coming through, parts of the eastern belt having damaging winds and some heavy rainfall, of course, in our area a week ago Sunday. And all of that not very good for the crops. But now we do have favorable weather here for a while. And by the way, the wind last week, I think that was very much underplayed in the media, across Ohio and parts of Indiana and Kentucky with the winds on Sunday from Ike, there could have been some crop damage in those states. In fact, parts of Ohio still have power outages more than a week after that windstorm, and that went right through the heart of the crop areas of Ohio and parts of southern and eastern Indiana. And finally, talking about the cold, we will stay mild through this week. It does look like a surge of cool air will come in about October 1st. It doesn't look like it's going to bring damaging cold, though. And then we could have another surge later next week. We'll have to watch that one a little more. As we go into October, of course, the chances of frost increase. But at this point, it doesn't look like the majority of our areas due for a killing frost just yet. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 756 and a quarter, down a quarter, last trade up 13 and a half. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 721 and three quarters, up 3 3/4. Last trade up 14 and a quarter. December corn, 541 and a quarter, unchanged. Last trade up 10 and 3/4. March, 599 and a quarter, up a quarter. Last trade up 9 and a quarter. November beans, 1144 and a quarter, up 3/4. Last trade up 32 and a quarter. January, 1161 and a half, up 2 1/4. Last trade up 32 and 3/4. October soybean meal, 313.90, up 140. Last trade up 10.70. October soybean oil, 47, up 8. Last trade up 95. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian. Here we go. Good morning, Brian.
You got me?
I got you.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, will commodity traders make of this $700 billion to $1 trillion bailout that the Bush administration sent Congress over the weekend to help Wall Street?
I tend to think that what it really looks at is you have to start leaning back towards more of an inflationary-type marketplace, and I think that's what the market is viewing this morning. You've got your outside markets are pretty much kind of running this marketplace right now, with crude oil trading up 370. Dollars down 735 points, and gold's up $34 as we're talking here this morning. So we're seeing stuff try and find some support on just the inflationary talk that they're considering out here in the marketplace. And I think that's going to bleed over into a good market for the grains. We're oversold to the downside. Fundamental news is very thin this morning. There's not much out here. I think most people are just setting off to the side, waiting to see what kind of yield results we get out of these things. And we're getting very mixed yield results. There's areas that we're seeing good yields on beans, good yields on corn, but then you've got some areas where they're not so good. So I think over here we're going to wait and see what we get on these late Group 3 beans and see how they do. The early beans, the Group 2s, have done very well. We're seeing a lot of 50 up to 70 bushel yields in many of our areas over here. Well, we're running hard. You're starting to see the bean processor over here back away his bids. You know, over in Illinois, your listeners over there, if they've got some beans they can cut, there's still some pretty good premium on the old crop over the new crop, and it deserves to be sold if you can get out and get the beans moved and get them picked out of the field in time to catch some of these quick ship premiums, because we are going to back these basis levels off. I don't know that we're going to go back to 75 under type numbers. Mm-hmm. I think basis will continue to narrow in on that all fall bid, and that's going to help the farmer quite a bit.
So the calls this morning, please.
We're going to go with the overnight stuff. I think you'll be up 30, 35 cents in the beans as we get started. I think you'll be up 10 to 15 in corn and wheat. Livestocks are going to be, I think, generally supported as you see the packer trying to find some hogs out here and keep the hogs rolling. The export program has been excellent, so I look for the hog market, cattle market to both be supported early this morning.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company. He joins us every Monday morning on the pre-opening Commodity Market Report. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana, and we're on the web 24/7 at WILLAG.org.